right, welcome everyone. This is the Thursday, February 13, 2025 meeting of the New Orleans Historic District Landmarks Commission. Roll call, Jenny West, present. Jim Ashby, present. Adara Lewis, present. Tim Lupin, present. Ross Carson, present. Annie Clark, absent. Greg Hackenberg, present. Jennifer Green, present. Jennifer Green, absent. Shalonda Foray, present. Anne Red, present. We have 8 members constituting a quorum.
Thank you. Welcome to the New Orleans Historic District Landmarks Commission meeting of February 13th, 2025. We would like to thank you for attending and appreciate your support and cooperation with the HDLC. The HDLC is located in City Hall on the 7th floor at the city's one-stop shop. Our mission is to safeguard the heritage of the city of New Orleans by preserving and regulating historic landmarks and districts which reflect elements of its cultural, social, economic, political, and architectural history. The full HDLC mission statement can be found online. The HDLC has written guidelines that outline our policies and procedures. They are available on the city's website. Please determine if your property is in an HDLC district or if it's an HDLC landmark prior to beginning any work on the property. If the work or repairs are visible from public right-of-way, the work requires a certificate from the HDLC, which is known as a Certificate of Appropriateness, or C of A. You must get a C of A prior to beginning work. Once a C of A is issued, changes must be approved before work can commence on these changes. If you have any questions about our policies or procedures, we have a highly qualified staff ready to assist you. Please pay attention to the following meeting rules. If you plan on speaking and are not the applicant, you must fill out a speaker's card and hand it to the staff before the meeting. These are the green cards that you saw as you walked in on the desk. All speakers must state their name and address for the record. Our meetings are recorded and televised. Typically today they are just recorded. There is a 2-minute speaking time limit. Please turn all cell phones off or on vibrate. Phone conversations should be conducted outside of this room. And if your application is denied or there is a no action vote, you have 10 calendar days from the date of this meeting to appeal to the City Council in writing, and the staff will furnish you with the details of that appeals process. Thank you. Separate note, just because we're not in our typical location, everyone's behind me, so I'm sorry. Typically I get to look at everyone and see what's going on. If I miss someone, please wave at me, say something, speak up, and hopefully staff will help with that as well. And where are we having applicants? Are they standing or?
Yeah, you can just stand up.
They can just stand at this point. Okay, so just stand, and again, note the 2-minute time limit. I don't have the typical things I have to record, but just be mindful of time. We have a very short agenda today. So with that, the first item is the minutes of the Wednesday, January 8th, 2025 meeting. Do we have a motion to approve? Commissioner Carson approves, seconded by Commissioner Hackenberg. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? The motion carries unanimously. Thank you. Item 3, new business work applications. Item A is 2353 St. Thomas Street. Is the applicant present? Please state your name and address for the record.
Yes, hi, I'm Jessica Walker. My address is 701 Quinter Street, Suite, Vermont.
Thank you. The staff will make their presentation and we'll hear comments following.
This is an application for the appeal of the ARC recommendation for the proposed Camelback addition and request for demolition of more than 50% of the wall structure at a contributing rated one-story single-family residential building in Full Control Irish Channel. At the December ARC meeting, the ARC stated that they did not approve the Camelback as proposed, as it does not meet the guidelines. The ARC stated that the Camelback addition should be pushed to at least 2 rooms back from the front facade and should be changed to have a hip roof at the front. The applicant is requesting to maintain the 1-room setback as proposed due to the limited size of the house and lot. The proposed roof has been updated to reflect the ARC recommendation for the hip roof. Staff leaves the decision for the setback of the Camelback at the discretion of the commission. The applicant is also requesting for more than 50% replacement of the exterior wall structure. On January 9th, staff did an interior and exterior inspection at the property. After interior exploratory demolition had been done, at the inspection, the exterior walls were found to be in poor condition due to unsympathetic and inappropriate renovations, including the addition of stucco on several elevations. The framing also showed signs of water and termite damage. It is likely that a large portion of the walls will be required to be reframed and sistered to carry the load of the new Camelback addition. Staff recommends approval of the replacement of wall framing where needed, with the proviso that the replacement goes wall by wall, that the footer- footprint remains the same and that all caution to properly brace the building is done.
Thank you. Ms. Walker, do you wish to address the commission?
Yes, please.
Good afternoon. Okay, this is in the Irish Channel. As you can see, it's a really tiny house. It only goes 3 bays back. And the lot itself is 18.5 feet by 64 feet, which the standard size lot is minimum is 30 by 90. So there's not a lot of space for them to work with. That we think, basically from looking at the old Sandborn maps, that this was probably a back house that was associated with a corner lot at one time, but over time the lot got re-subdivided and that house, the original corner house, actually got torn down at some point. That's a vacant lot on the corner right now. So what we've shown on here is actually on the corner lot that will eventually get developed. So this house right now, you can see the whole side facade from Strapperoon, but you won't eventually once they rebuild on that corner. Another thing to note, the house, so what we're proposing, we're gonna take advantage of the rear addition that they have and fill in that back corner, but that only gets us about 52 extra square feet. We can do that through zoning with the grandfather condition. So right now the house is only 725 square feet. With the addition we're proposing, it would come up to a 1,350 square foot house. Still a one bedroom house, it's really small. Basically, we met with ARC, we've been working with Wendy quite a bit, and I think we did everything else that ARC wanted to see us do, that just the one thing. And of course the 50% is just to restructure the house to add the Camelback. So the one thing that we're still asking for is that Camelback setback, just 1 bay back. It's over 12 feet from the front wall. And it is set on the original first bay wall, basically. So and we've changed that to a hip roof, got a lower ceiling height on the addition. We think it's a pretty good solution to just, these people want to rebuild this house where it is, this is what they can work with.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on this application? No public comment. Commissioners, this is in the Irish Channel District.
Yes, it is. In the case of these very small houses, we have approved Camelbacks that come up to the first room. I mean, where if following the guidelines, you would end up with less than 50% of the building being a Camelback. I would make a motion to approve the Camelback one room back, and also to add the provisos that the staff made about the demolition, that it be done wall by wall, and as much historic material that can be retained, and that the building is properly braced.
Thank you. Yeah. Is there a second to that motion? Thank you, Commissioner Lupin. All those in favor? All those opposed? The motion carries unanimously. Thank you and good luck with your project. Item B, 3828 Burgundy Street. Is the applicant present?
Yes.
Please state your name and address for the record.
The applicant contractor, Jeffrey David Canton, 5804 Rose South here in Louisiana, 7-1-2.
Great, thank you. And are you the homeowner?
Yes.
Do you mind just stating your name and address for the
sure.
record?
Jim King. It's 3828 or 26-28 Randy Street.
Thank you. Just to note, I also have speaker's cards from both of them, so just putting that into the record. The staff will make their presentation and we'll hear your comments following. Thank you.
This is a request for the installation of roof-mounted solar panels on street facing side and tributary one-story single-family residential. 3828 Burgundy is a contributing one-story building located in Bywater. The building first appears on the 1908 fire insurance map, which falls within the period of significance for the The proposed solar panel layout is 34 panels on the Alvarado Street facing portion of the building. According to the guidelines, solar panels should be minimally visible and placed on the side or rear elevation to preserve the true ensemble of the neighborhood. Any street-facing panels must be reviewed by the commission. The applicant is requesting approval for the proposed location due to the heat gain method. However, staff believes the non-feet street-facing would be more suitable option for that aligns with the guidelines. Given the proposed panels to be highly visible in street-facing and considering the alternative location that could be approved, staff recommends denial of the proposal.
Thank you. To the applicant, do you wish to address the commission? Mr. Canton?
Yes, no. The location that the panel's been proposed on is considered much more highly practical for the purposes of generating energy. It can be placed on other locations on the home, but there's a significant loss of energy and capacity for it that does detrimentally affect the homeowner's ability to achieve the goals of providing adequate power after a storm and protecting the family. The energy generation change to the other facility would be on the order of about $20,000 on the system. So the delta is pretty significant. It's not a small amount. There is some shading on the back of the property, quite a bit of it, with some fairly nice trees that the homeowner would rather not have to touch. It would affect the neighborhood's quality as well. The city's program that this homeowner and others are inspired by, the city's solar fall program, which is encouraging owners to address climate change, to address the city's climate goals, and they're doing everything they can. The design is intended to, as best as possible, match all the HGLC's requirements for any other given circumstances except the street visibility. In that case, it is. They are kept rectangular. They are kept low-profile, black view, and so the actual impact on the visibility of the neighborhood is relatively modest. There are other sites in the neighborhood that have much less practical and less matching installations of solar arrays according to the new HGLC rules. So this site is, other than just a little extra visibility on the street, it is as accommodated to the new rules as possible beyond what other sites in the neighborhood and other sites that have been approved by the commission match. In particular, 820 Bazan Street and 500 Phillips Street, not in that particular neighborhood, but another street visible property that has a less rectangular and less corresponding array to the new rules.
That's 2 minutes.
Request,
please wrap your comment.
Okay,
if you can,
we do request consideration of the commission.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on this application? There's no public comment. I just want to address a couple items that were noted in there. So the commission wholeheartedly is behind solar panels and sustainability. We recognize and understand that. We also did reopen and had a working group to review and amend the rules for solar panels. So we just wanna make sure, I know that Solar Alternatives is also aware of that. But we have been very sensitive to that in the past. And in terms of the noting other properties that have an array, again, we don't benchmark against other cases. We don't know the details of those cases here, but we work by the guidelines that are in front of us. Staff is recommending denial on this one. I do know this site very well. I lived around the corner, so I am very familiar with this property. I guess the question would be, is it, well, I'll turn it over to Commissioner, actually I'll turn it to Commissioner Carson, but we typically do ask, why not flip the array to the other side is the first question. So I don't know if the owner or wants to speak to that.
The other side of the house gets less sunlight naturally because of the placement of the sun against the routes of the house, but also it is partially shaded by large trees in the neighboring property. And those trees aren't likely to go away anytime soon, nor would we want them to. Part of the character of the neighborhood is actually having some foliage around there. The side we're proposing is fully sun exposed with no obstructions. And so that generates significantly more power for the dollar spent. We are doing some things to mitigate. When we did the reinforced roof on the roof, we did it in black so the solar panels would blend in more nicely. And Solar Alternatives is proposing a lower profile panel in order to make that blend in. And the battery backup, instead of placing it traditionally next to the power box, we're having it moved to the other side of the house so that is also not visible. So we're trying to make it as invisible as possible, but we would like to get the maximum use out of these powers to generate maximum power.
Thank you for your comments. Any additional comments?
Can I ask one question? So, in the literature that you provided, you said there's potential of $21,000 loss of effectivity over the lifetime of the panels. What percentage of that is there? I mean,
I believe the total. I think it ends up being about 25% of the generation temp generation versus the open east roof versus the slightly north and partly shaded west roof. So 25% of that energy charge.
And what do you consider the lifetime span?
Yeah. Of the product, about 30 years.
Okay.
One other question on that. The projection on the tree coverage and the shade, is that based on actual analysis of the real site conditions, or is it based on an aerial photograph and an assumption about the tree coverage?
It is based on a model that can actually input the existing size of the trees. It doesn't actually account for future tree growth. Model it, you know, an right. average tree in 15 years or something, it probably would be a little bit more impact on the array. So that is using actual tree size as of now, because the way the trees are right up against the house and the panels to accommodate that equal amount of energy would basically be tucked up under the trees. So certainly a large part of one half of the array would be significantly shaded.
I think that's just one thing I want to be clear on. It looks to me like there's roughly two trees there, right? And crepe myrtles. I think we're seeing them in the photographs from the street view, and they're in the neighboring yard. Is that correct?
I can address that. Yeah, they're very large crepe myrtle trees in the backyard of the adjacent house. They're
right, we're kind of seeing it right there.
Because
right?
It's the winter.
Yeah. Understood. Yeah.
I'd just like to state from the staff's point of view, as you stated previously, we did work in a working group with representatives from the solar panel industry to craft guidelines that could meet to the greatest extent possible all the needs of the solar industry while also protecting the character of the historic districts and trying to adhere to the Secretary of the Interior guidelines for historic districts as it relates to the installation of solar panels. And a previous application since we drafted and approved with the council's sign off on this new guidelines application for street-facing solar panels, the commission voted to deny them because at this point, having spent all the time to craft these guidelines, it would be very problematic for either this commission or the council to vote against what the guidelines we all worked so hard and in community for so soon after they were adopted.
And just to note, I mean, I think the outreach on that with the solar panel companies was extensive and providing input on that. So just to keep that in mind, it was not a internal group that did not outwardly work with solar companies as well in those revisions to the guidelines.
May I speak to that very briefly?
Yes.
And we were part of that discussion, and I think that was a very important discussion. We take the character of the homes very seriously. As an industry and as residents. We did understand the guidelines being something that was, as best as possible, all designs would aim in that direction, but in cases where it was either very impossible or be a significant impact on the income benefit that the owner would receive, that there would be consideration at the commission level for alternatives to that. So we do appreciate that,
yeah.
Having been part of the understanding as well.
Absolutely, and I think in the cases too that we see, I mean this, it's a partial obstruction with the trees at the rear, so it's not as though it's not possible to put solar panels on this property. It just would be a less of an array. And so, again, I think often when we see these, it's that sometimes we do have ones that have a greater hardship, which is part of that discussion. Commissioner Carson, this is in Bywater.
Yeah,
I know you're familiar with this property as well.
As much as we want to approve solar panels, I think the staff has spoken pretty clearly about the goals of the guidelines here, and I think corner lots unfortunately are at a slight disadvantage because two of their roofs on a typical house are taken away or taken out of the mix as an option. I think there are some things working for the west side on this property. There's an open driveway. There are things that are limiting the amount of shade that side could be experiencing, and I also think, you know, this isn't the scenario where it's north versus south either. And we're not a technical body, but those things, you know, we do our best to try to understand the relationship between the technical goals and the architectural. For these reasons, I would recommend denial, or make a motion for denial.
Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Commissioner Hackenberg, second. All those in favor? All those opposed? Commissioner Porter, are you opposed?
No.
No, everybody's in favor? All right, just making sure. Thank you. The commission has voted to deny this application. You have 10 calendar days from the date of this meeting to appeal to city council in writing, and the staff will furnish you with the details of that process if you wish to do so. Thank you and good luck with your project. All right, new business demolition applications. Item A, 719 Belmont Street. Is the applicant present?
Yes.
Hi. Please step forward, state your name and address for the record.
Terrence Davis, 719 Belmont Street, New Orleans, 70115.
Thank you. The staff will make their presentation and we'll hear your comments following. Thank you, Mr. Davis.
This is an application for the demolition of more than 50% of the roof structure of a contributing graded single-family residential building. Sanborn Fire Insurance maps show that the one-story single-family shotgun was constructed sometime prior to 1909. The single shotgun had a rear side bunk out and currently retains its original massing. The proposed renovation seeks to expand the rear bunk out's footprint and add a camelback addition roughly two rooms back from the front of the building. The total amount of roof demolition is 64.7%. The guidelines for full control districts recommend camelback additions start at least two rooms back and removal of more than 50% of the roof is approvable. Staff recommends approval of the demolition of more than 50% of the roof structure.
Thank you. To the applicant, do you wish to address the commission?
I don't have any questions unless someone has questions for me.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on this application? No public comment. This is an uptown. Commissioner Lupin?
It is an uptown, that's right. I think this is a pretty good solution. I'll propose make a motion to approve this. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
I'm talking my thoughts.
It's all good.
Good though.
Post Super Bowl. Okay, so we have a motion on the floor to approve the staff's recommendation to approve this application is for demolition. Is there a second to that? I'm sorry, Commissioner Irvin. Sorry, it's been a minute. All those in favor? All those opposed? The motion carries unanimously. Thank you and good luck with your project.
Thank you.
Item B, 1561 North Broad Street. This application has been withdrawn. Item C, 1570 North Roman Street. This application has been withdrawn. Moving forward to new business retention applications. Item A, 2125 North Rampart Street. Is the applicant present?
Yes.
Marcia
Monk is my name and address 2125 North Rampart.
Thank you, Ms. Monk. The staff will make their presentation and we'll hear your comments following.
This is an application for the retention of removal of previously existing roof ridge tiles, decorative roof panel, wood shutters, slate chimney caps, and installation of inappropriate fence gates and visually prominent HVAC equipment and screening at a contributing graded two-story single-family residential building now to see a full control manner. For the removal of the ridge tiles and finial, the HDLC guidelines note that these are decorative and functional elements that help define the profile of the roof against the skyline, accentuate changes in the roof slope, and complement the building's style, and are visually important features that should be retained. Because these roof items are removed without approval, and because equivalent new or salvage replacement elements are readily available, staff recommends denial of the request for retention and recommends that new ridge tiles and finial are installed to match the previous condition. For the wood shutters, all of the previously existing wood vertical board, rail, and style shutters at the left side of the building appear to have been removed without approval sometime after January 2021. The guidelines note that shutters are visually prominent and functional features which should be repaired, maintained, and damaged to exterior so that they can remain. Based on this and due to the prominence of the window openings at the left side of the street, staff recommends denial of the request for retention and recommends that new wood shutters are reinstalled at the previous locations. For the chimney caps, the guidelines note that chimneys are typically designed to complement the style of building period construction and are often covered with inverted V-shaped slate or terracotta caps. Based on the fact that the slate cap is only missing from one of the two chimneys, it is likely this was deteriorated or damaged rather than intentionally removed. However, it is an important decorative and functional element and is visible in the street. Based on this, staff recommends denial of the request for retention and recommends the chimney caps are reinstalled to match the previous. For the inappropriate fence gates and HVAC screen, new fence gates were installed at the left and right sides of the building without approval that are considered inappropriate because they are taller than the 7-foot maximum height, a portion are located on top of a stair, and because they do not match the standard HDLC fence details for the H style of the building. At the left side, because of the area's high visibility from the street with the driveway, and because a portion of the fencing is clearly located on top of a stair, staff recommends denial of the request for retention and recommends that that a new standard wood fence be installed closer to the street, if desired, so it will not conflict with the stairs. At the right side, a similar but considerably taller fence gate was installed in order to additionally serve as HVAC screening for three new HVAC condenser units installed previously above the gate without HDLC or safety improvements approved. While the screening does mitigate the visual prominence of the units, a similar treatment of the fence and screen combined with the HVAC platform being slightly forward of the gate below is causing the overall condition to appear too atypical, even given the more limited visibility of the sun. Additionally, the current installation does not appear to meet the CZO required setback distance from the property line and will likely require a BZA waiver to remain at this location or to be further set back in the alley. Based on these factors, staff recommends denial of the request for retention and recommends the inappropriate gate be replaced with a standard 7-foot tall opaque wood gate and a purview so that the HVAC equipment and screening can remain if they are relocated further back in the alley to visually separate them from the gate and to further reduce their visibility from the street. And that would be contingent upon safety permits or BZA waiver approval. Alternatively, this equipment and platform can be relocated somewhere in the rear yard that meets the setback requirements and is not visible from the floor.
Thank you. Ms. Monk, would you like to address the commission?
Hello. Are you Dennis?
Yes.
Thank you so much for all your back and forth. I appreciate that and reminding you of this. I don't own the property. I legit, it's a commercial short-term rental property. The owners purchased it in March 2021. So I just wanted to point out that the gates on the right and left were there prior to purchasing the property. If we do have to go through zoning to move those back, it's just going to impact the airflow and the HVAC equipment overall. As far as the roof that was done once they purchased it, they was not done with malintent. They just hired a contractor that they trusted. So we didn't have, I say we, they did not intentionally have them removed, but the contractor just didn't do that appropriately, right? And then the shutters were removed because they just were deteriorated to a point where they weren't salvageable, more of a hazard. So I just wanted to request if those gates can, and I'm new to this process, so I don't know if I'm asking, but if the fences can remain due to the fact that they've been there for almost 10 years, they were there prior to purchasing. As far as the slate caps at the top, there's no problem. We can return that one up there. The ridge tiles, again, we weren't aware that they weren't going to put them back. They are minimally visible. And then the shutters, yeah, we definitely wanted to see if we must put them back on, if it's possible, only ones that are more visible, maybe ones that are more top or bottom. But I just wanted to note that, I mean, as we all know, they're all custom. I don't really know where to even begin on that process, but
thank you for your comments. Is there any additional public comment on this application? No additional public comments. Okay, so. I'm sorry, I didn't see you.
Jaira Rafer with the Rethakasa Haley Boulevard Business and Merchant Association. It's more of a question. The owners, you mentioned, are they from the city or are they ties to the city?
Yes, ma'am. So the property owners, it's a brother and sister. They do live in New York. Her name is Carol Mould. She went to Tulane. So they come to the city frequently.
Thank you. So I guess you probably heard my speech at the beginning, which is a reminder for when this is televised and recorded or any time, that when you're working in the city of New Orleans, which you might want to remind your owners that you represent, that it is required to get an HDLC C of A prior to doing work. Additionally, there are items on here that would have required a building permit, which for the HVAC unit and other pieces and roofing as well. So for that, just as a reminder, and for those who are listening or in this room, we are constantly reminding people that. So we hate to see these applications come in front of us, because if they really the staff and the city didn't get the opportunity to review this application to note these things, which as you noted would be expensive and time consuming at this point to repair or put back. But again, owners make decisions when they decide they want to expedite projects and not go through the proper approval process, which is also why this is under a retention application. So I think this is in my district. Really disappointed to see this number of items and as like complex as this one is for such small things that really would have been caught by staff. Additionally, I guess the question I have on this is, for the HVAC installation, has that been sent and notified to go to BZA and?
Yes, they've got their application submitted and zoning and safety permits have confirmed that from the photos provided and setbacks, it doesn't look like it meets the system.
Yeah, that's a very unusual condition.
And it's an HDLC approval required.
Yeah, so that's a very unusual condition to see retained and typically would also be denied at BZA, which is a another city body.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out as well, I had to do some background research, but also upon purchase, those two HVACs were there as well, which doesn't mean the previous owners did things right, but I just wanted to point that out.
I am going to hand this over to see if there's another commissioner who wants to tackle all these items. I think the staff report is pretty clear and thorough. Commissioner Lupin?
Yeah, sure. I just to the owner, you made a comment about, you know, if you move these condensers, it might, you know, do something to the efficiency. I'm looking at your photos and the fact that they're right up against one another, they're not very efficient right now. So, you know, you're helping them out a little bit by moving them and figuring out another place because they're not operating properly right now. But regardless, that's just an aside. I would like to move to deny all of the elements on this list for retention back on the staff. Yeah.
Great. I'm going to read them into the record just so that we make sure that we have them. Thank you for the condensed list. We have a motion on the floor for denial of the following items: removal of the roof ridge tiles and decorative roof finials. Item one, item two is removal of the wood shutters. Item three is removal of the slate chimney caps. Item four is inappropriate fence and gates. And item five is a visually prominent HVAC and screening. Thank you. There's a motion on the floor. Do we have a second to that motion? Commissioner Poré, I'm gonna share today since it's a short agenda. All those in favor? All those opposed? The motion carries unanimously. If you wish to appeal this application, you have 10 calendar days from the date of this meeting to appeal to City Council in writing. The staff will furnish you with the details of that appeals process. Thank you and good luck. And in the future, please get a C of A and go through the city before doing work. Thank you. Okay.
I was here for 1570 North Carolina.
That was withdrawn.
By who? The applicant?
They did not meet their requirements to be here today.
Did I meet the requirements for what?
Pardon?
It didn't meet the requirements?
Yes, you did not schedule an inspection.
Okay.
It'll be heard on the next, pending you can get everything. Jesse's your plan reviewer, so okay. If you can just get with them and make sure you've got all that in place.
Okay.
Just for clarification, the staff notified them that their item was being withdrawn due to a,
I have to check my email.
Application deficiencies. Okay, so you can just verify that.
Okay. Item B, under retention applications, is 720-22 Spain Street. This application has also been withdrawn. Item C, 719 Truku Street. This application has been withdrawn. Ratification of Architectural Review Committee and staff action since Wednesday, January 8th, 2025 meeting. Can we have a motion to approve those?
Motion to approve.
Thank you. Commissioner Hackenberg, seconded by Commissioner Lupin. All those in favor? All those opposed? The motion carries unanimously. HDLC reports and communications.
We have no other
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Meeting is adjourned.